Well, good morning, boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages, attention, ships at sea. Yes, it is me. Yes, the one, the only. So we've been through this before. We're not going down this rabbit hole again. All right. Let's see. Fish and Frank in the chair. Robert in the chair across from me. Time for a fishing report.
Yes, it is. And it's going to be a good fishing report, too.
Well,
we've gotten so much different stuff this whole week.
It's definitely a lot of fish out there. Whether we do a good job of reporting it is yet to be seen. Let's see, what do the critics say? One phrase turned 27 different ways, and now we are coming in here. Let's see, we are at the 41 bridge. Oh my gosh. Wow. We're at the mouth of the Peace River, 100 and some miles of fresh water boiling and dumping right to a central location, and that location is...
And it's still at 5 feet.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what Jeff said yesterday.
Jeff checks all the time in Wachula. That's Jeff. Jeff does Wachula. He's got them all on there.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff's a river rat.
He said it was 5 feet and dropping yesterday or day before yesterday, but that's what he told me yesterday.
Wow. Just going on fishandfranks.com quick. Weather and tides, bottom of the page, Peace River button. See what it's got to say here. Come on. I like it when this thing pretends it's a computer.
Right.
All right, where is XP when you need it? Right, here we are. That's not true. In Arcadia, now it might be true, it might take this back up if it was in Wachula he was looking.
Right.
But right now, there must be a sinkhole between that and Arcadia.
Okay.
Because in Arcadia right now, which is where I judge my water because I know
right.
It's less than 2 feet. There is no water coming down that river at all right
Perfect.
Now.
Perfect.
Yep, we are at 1.6, and just a touch below that, we were at 2 feet at the beginning of the week, and on the 22nd, we were right at dead 2 feet, and now it's down, it's fallen 4 inches, almost 5 inches down, so there's no water coming down the river right now.
Right.
No fresh water flow.
Yay! Plus, he likes to go up there to Bowling Green or wherever that's at, too.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, but I mean, he goes way up the Peace River, yeah. There's no stopping Jeff. When it comes to the river, he wasn't born a river rat, but he has become a river rat.
Oh, big
he loves
time.
It.
Yeah.
And
well, that's good to know. I mean, that makes more sense too. You know,
what that's going to do is clean up the water.
Oh, it's clearing up every day. I mean, everybody's coming in every day talking about more and more fish that they're seeing, whether it's at their dock lights or whether it's on the east side. You know, it's, and even out along the beaches, it's getting clearer other than a little bit of milk from the wind.
Yeah, the bottom's getting stirred up. Have they started the beach renourishment yet?
No, they're not doing a beach renourishment out there.
Because I know they've got it scheduled, I think.
Nope.
No?
That was just myth.
Oh, okay.
I called Betty to find out the truth. I just ignore some of the myths and propaganda. It is not scheduled as far as Boca Grande renourishment is not on schedule until 2021.
All right.
And that's just a discussed expected time. It's not even set in stone yet.
Wow. Yeah, but I mean, it's millions of dollars and hugely disruptive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
You know, so.
Back on fishandfranks.com, weather and tides, Gulf temps. And right now, we've had a pretty big change in water here, Robert.
Well, we've had a spring for the first time in a couple of years.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 81.7 in Key West. Not hot. Definitely on the warm side, but not hot. It's 78 in St. Petersburg. And Pensacola's sitting at 68. So that's
pretty good.
That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. I got to look at the top of the page and find out the months and the average. But, all right, January, February, March, April. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4th and 5th columns. Coming back down. I'm going to check this out. Let me get back here, Key West. All right, Naples, St. Pete, 474. We're a little above average. We're 4 degrees above average. It's in May, it's supposed to go up to 80 degrees, be the average. So we're a little above average already.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's not good. It's not great. I mean, we always want it to be more to the lower side of average than the higher side nowadays. Right. But we're only 3 degrees above average in Naples, and so that's not bad.
Yeah, the only thing that seems to be average in the last 10 years is that it's changing.
Yeah, the only average thing is there is no more average. You know, it's just whatever it is, it is. And so back to the 41 bridge and what's going on. Sorry about that bang into my microphone. I don't know how I got that bang, bang, back, back. All right, we're here.
That's what it does.
41 bridge, using some brown letters here.
Daytime fishing, the cobia have been down there off and on, not a lot, but pretty consistently. You can usually tell that by the trolls up on top of the bridge. There's been an oddball Spanish mackerel, some small sharks. there's even been some good whiting and a few oddball trout. And then, you know, that's just kind of off and on each day.
Right.
Baits, you know, there's been schools of thread fins moving in and out of there. So I think that kind of dictates the amount of fish that are being caught on that particular tide, whether it's coming in or going out. It seems like, you know, the sharks, cobia, and Spanish all seem to follow that bait. So you'll notice one day you get a whole bunch of guys coming in talking about all these fish down there, and the next 2 days it's like crickets, you know, and I think that's just a big role in it.
Well, let's jump over to Alligator Creek. What's going on in the creek itself?
In the creek itself, there's been a lot of the mangrove snapper happening, and then snook and jacks have probably been the biggest thing that people have been talking about cruising in and out of there. All the way up as far as 41, all the way out to the mouth. You know, there've been, and even quite a few numbers of the small juvenile tarpon as you get up there a little bit further towards the Burnt Store Isles turnoff and the 41 crossover. You know, up around there, that trailer park area.
Right. Yeah, I used to really enjoy fishing up there.
I used to love going up there. I used to slide right in there at 41 with the canoe.
Yep.
Or all the way up by Taylor Road at the dam there, and then come all the way down and just go past the trailer park. That was always just beautiful and fun.
You know, I love that the store's busy, and I'm so appreciative that everybody's as good to us as they are, but it has cut into my fishing time.
Oh, big time.
It's just crazy the last few years, how busy we've gotten, and we keep trying to hire people, but, you know, it's still, if you and I aren't, You or I really need to be here most of the time.
Right. So
thank you for letting me take a couple of days off. Going out to the reef, Alligator Creek Reef, the Concrete Reef, the 1 Mile Reef, whatever name you call it by, it's one south of Ponce, west of Alligator Creek. What do we got?
Some Spanish mackerel, some cobia, a lot of little sharks, and then there's been a fairly decent mangrove snapper bite, but those fish have been moving around a lot, so one guy catches a bunch of them, and the other guy that's sitting 100 yards away is catching nothing except for the occasional baby jewfish. Yeah, but it's been steady, you know. It's worth hitting for and fishing it a little bit, but don't dedicate yourself. Pull the anchor and go to the drift down a little bit or something. Move around a little bit. I mean, you're only in 15 feet of water, for crying out loud. It's not that much anchor line to pull up to reset.
Yeah, it's amazing how some guys, that anchor's down. This is it. We're done.
We're parked. We're done.
It's like they've pulled an RV up, plugged in, you know, raised the jacks up, you know, and, you know, they're cooking, you know, they're there for the night. And
right.
I'm like you. I'll give it, to be fair, half hour minimum, but I usually like stay, if I got chum out, 40-45 minutes in a spot.
Right.
And but if I'm chumming, all I'm going to do is try and move just a little further down current to take advantage of the chum line I've already done.
Right.
Or maybe move up current a little bit, but I want to stay in the general theme of where that chum was going to take advantage of it, and then on my move it should just enhance my older chum. So I'm either going down to maybe chum a little harder downstream, but quite often what I'm going to do is move up further, because I think if they were downstream, they would have already smelled it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move upstream, like start at the middle of the reef, and if I don't hit anything, move closer to the end each move I make, trying to maybe draw something different that hadn't had a chance to smell it.
Exactly. No, I'm with you on that one. Always want to try to stay right in line with that chum slick and just move on. you know, move up or down, like you're saying.
Yeah, and it only makes sense to go upstream rather than downstream, because if they were downstream, they probably already heard the darn stuff or smelled it. So anyway, going back, let's hit Bayshore Pier for a minute. One of the piers right here close to the store. What's going on in Bayshore?
It's actually been kind of similar to the 41 Bridge. It's been, you know, those, the bait seems to dictate how much fish have been coming in there. So I've been hearing of some cobia, a few small juvenile bull sharks. One guy was showing me a picture of one, and he was all excited because it ended up not being the black tip that he thought it was. So, you know, a little 3-foot bull shark, which is still a cool catch. He's just, everyone's got to be aware of how tricky they can be to identify when they're juveniles.
And it's so hard, because a lot of times, you know, we say the phrase black tip all the time, because it's probably out of all the sharks, you know, not including hammerhead or bull, but I mean, out of the smaller sharks, that's we black tip.
Yeah.
So many other sharks have black tips.
It's either a black tip or a sand shark.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, doesn't exist at all.
You know, there's, it's like, oh my God, it's a black tip, because there is a black tip on one of the fins.
Yeah.
And what's funny is the black tip has one less black tip than some of the other ones.
Right, exactly.
Sharpnose has all black tips on the bottom, doesn't it?
Yep.
And
spinner. Spinner does.
All right. But a sharpnose has the one black tip that the black tip doesn't have.
No, that's the spinner that
that's
has.
That's the spinner? Okay.
The spinner has all black tips, and the black tip does not have the one black tip. And then your spinner has just like an enhanced line on the front of its pec fins that looks darker or lighter depending on the situation. But when they're all juveniles, they're all can be a little tricky to tell the difference. I mean, I fish for them all the time, and I still have to stop and take an extra minute or two to really look at a baby bull shark close to be 100% certain.
All right. Let's jump all the way south into the harbor, go down to Boquilla. What's going on in Boquilla?
Boquilla, there's a lot of threadies all over the place as far as the north end there on all those big sand flats.
Boquilla, you're breaking my heart. Oh, never mind. Okay, no. Sorry. There was a lot of what?
There was a lot of threadies there, but out there on those grass flats, especially by those surrounding sandbars on the north end there, there's been some tarpon, a few cobia, even some incidental permit mixed in with some decent size, but very few trout.
Very few trout, huh?
Yeah. Well, they're bigger, though. You know, they tend to be a little bit bigger out in that little bit deeper water because of all the predators that are around. The bigger ones seem to be a little smarter.
Now, is it, how's the redfish there?
Terrible.
Snook fishing there.
Snook fishing up along the shoreline has been good. Those snook are moving all over the place right now. And because they are on the move, getting into that pre-spawn mode, heading to the passes, you could go there and catch a whole bunch of snook today, go back there 2 hours from now, nothing. You know, you just got to wait for the next little group to come through.
Right. I mean, right now when it comes to snook and several of the fish, especially snook, though, they are on the move.
Yeah.
It's, picture, it's Friday night after the prom, or before the week before the prom.
Exactly.
Friday night, the week before the prom. Boys are looking for girls, and girls are looking for boys, and they're in their 57 Chev. They've got the radio up. They're cruising the strip.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Definitely.
I don't know why. What was that stupid movie about with the, that one just hit my head when we were talking about that, Happy Days, you know, whatever that was.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just had flashes of, you know, the hot rod cars and, you know, all that kind of stuff, because that's what
real hot rods,
yeah, the fish are actually doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that whole thing changed.
You think?
The only thing is, when you see it in a big city and you see all the cool cars and, you know, all the kids standing around it, that's actually pretty cool too.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is. I mean, except when they get on the interstate and try and drive like that in normal traffic, then
right. I think they're playing fast and
then
furious.
I'd like to, yeah, I would like to have a James Bond device in my car. So anyway, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, and Gallagher's Cut. Gallagher's Cut.
I love Gallagher's Cut.
What, Greg? Shorter? No, I don't think they're coming in shorter. They might, but I doubt it. Why? I
can't see it.
Well, the guy's trying to hook this reel on his rod out here. Knees are too long. They won't tighten it down. Clamp down.
All right. He can either wait, or what he's going to have to do, there's front brackets for some of the reels, folks, that they're asking me about. And the only way to fix that is to build up something underneath the rod. The rod's probably just too small. Yeah, I'll take leather strips or gasket material, go down to the auto parts store and buy a big sheet of gasket material and cut it up. It doesn't rot. It's a really good material. I use it under reel seats, between the reel seat and the rod, to build that up.
So that's, you mean between the reel seat and the reel itself?
No, not between the reel. The reel has to sit on the rod. But on the bottom side where you're putting the clamps on, I use it as a spacer between the clamp and the rod to tighten the reel down. The reel has to sit directly in the reel seat. It cannot be moved from there. Okay. Yep. So, all right. Okay. Yes, I got my new watch from Steve Duke. My old new watch, a used watch. I couldn't afford this if it was new. But anyway, getting back over to here, we're talking about Bull Bay and Turtle Bay until we got interrupted. Yes, we do this in the back room of the store. No, there is no door. Even if there was, wasn't help, you know, there is a door of sorts. All right. Let's see. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
A lot of snook moving in and out throughout there. And that's about the only place where I've been hearing about some scattered redfish also. What else is happening in there? There's been a few oddball trout, but they're starting to do that summertime disappearing act. And then also out in front between Bull and Turtle Bay, that's where you're seeing some of the bigger snook and some of the smaller schools, along with some pompano. I've heard of a couple flounder even this week too. So it's kind of a good mixed bag. We've had some really, really super high tides this past week because of the full moon. And now we're on the back side of that, so the tides are starting to get funky again.
You know, I've noticed my canals had a lot of water in it lately.
Yeah, we had some 2-point-something tides this past, like, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah,
along with the wind kind of shifting a little bit.
I mean, yesterday the canal was full.
Yeah.
It topped over my seawall once. I have a one spot on my seawall is really low, but I know when it's hitting at least a 2.0, because at 2.1 it comes over to, right. And the sidewalk was wet on that end, down where I keep the bus.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Cape Hayes Reef right out in front of Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. Anything happening right out there?
Some Spanish mackerel, been a few cobia, a lot of small sharks. And then there's been a decent mangrove snapper bite, and there's also been some pompano sitting on that reef too. You know, which is always cool and unexpected at times.
Yeah, and Goliath grouper.
Oh yeah.
When you look on the website, I'm gonna do Jewfish because I can't remember how to spell Goliath. So. This is one Goliath did not beat David. David is beating Goliath on the website today because I forgot how to spell Goliath.
It's all good.
Yes. I notice you're not helping.
G-O-L-I-A-T-H.
Yeah, bite me. All right. Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay. I feel like, never mind. All right, go ahead. Cape Hayes and Muddy Bay. I'm not digging myself a deeper hole. I'm not a presidential candidate. I know. And shut up.
A lot of snook, and then a lot of small jacks, and I've even heard of a couple bluefish right there at the entrance there of Muddy Bay. You know, and small bluefish, relatively speaking, for what everyone's used to up north, but down here they're kind of average.
Yeah, I mean, but they're nice fish. They're 5 pounds.
Yes.
I'd say 2 to 5 pounds.
I was going to say 5 would be a giant.
Yeah.
But 2-pounders are pretty common. Still fun.
Yeah.
I like catching them. It's always a pleasant surprise when you're like, what do I have on
here?
We
got to go up to Jersey.
Is it a jack? Is it a catfish? What is that?
We got to go up to Jersey. We got so many great customers from that whole northeast area up there.
Isn't it cold up there?
I don't think it is now.
4th of July, maybe?
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe August or something. I don't know. But we have so many cool customers from up there, and they always talk about the bluefish and the stripers. And I've been to Jersey and the Northeast many times because the wife is from there. And I love going up there to go fishing. But I haven't been out there to do bluefish and striper yet. So we're going to have to go up, get a charter.
The peak time is the same time it's a peak for us, though. That's the bummer part.
Yeah, but we're just going to have to take a few days and go up there and do that because, you know, neither one of us have done that.
Right.
And they'll rave about it, so we got to go up there and do that. And then there's some parts up there we got to go up and do the landlocked salmon and some of the other stuff. There's so many cool fish up north, you know, that we don't get a chance at. But that's why they come here, because we have so many cool fish they don't have a chance at.
Right, exactly.
So it's a great trade-off, you know. I wish I could do the whole snowbird thing.
Yeah. Be fun to do once.
I know. If I'm kind of with you. If you live north of I-4, you're kind of suspect, because why?
Right.
You know, why? Right. It's too hot and it's too cold. And I want to move as closer and closer to the equator where it just kind of balances out.
Right.
I'm a huge, huge fan of same old, same old.
Yes.
And we're a lot closer to having that here now. At Cape Hayes, going back to Cape Hayes, is the redfish doing much there right now?
Not much. Not much at all. A few scattered trout.
Behind the bar, is there a lot of snook?
A whole lot of snook, but very few redfish. I mean, the redfish that guys are catching, they're working all day and maybe catching a half a dozen, but they're, you know, in that 16 to 22 inch range, and then they catch one oversized fish, but they've worked 8 hours to catch those 4 to 6 fish.
Gotcha.
It's tough. I mean, when you got somebody like Danny going, wow, I worked my tail off all day to catch 10 redfish, and they were all small except for one oversized.
Yeah.
That says something.
Because I guess we're going to have to put up another captain's page on here, because the whole captain's thing is out of control. There's so many of them out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you get one who does a really good job for a month, and then something happens, and there's personal issues, or their vehicle issues, or their boat issues, or, you know, or they just get stupid by some degree. And
they just got issues.
Yeah, they end up with issues, and then it goes back and forth. And I'm, you know, it's just such a nightmare with the whole captain thing. You know, so many great guys, but I mean, even great people have their unusual days or aspects. Look at me. Yeah, kind of like the poster child of weird stuff. All right, so anyway, best of intentions, sometimes worst of designs. Deep holes in the harbor, and there is the 2000 tarpon maps are up now. We started those. So deep holes in the harbor, what's going on?
Tarpon, cobia, lots of small sharks with a few assorted bigger sharks. There's been some silver trout out there along with some Spanish mackerel. I mean, and then there's also obviously a whole lot of thread fins moving around. What else is going on? There's the cow nose rays are spawning. We're in pre-spawn mode, so they're all gathered up in big schools. So you're seeing them, flooding by every now and then, which is pretty spectacular to see.
Now, can you hit a cow nose with a bow and arrow?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
I don't agree with it by one at all, personally.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Tell me, what's the...
Out of all the rays out there, cow nose rays are the only ones that give birth to one pup. And they take 5 to 7 years to become sexually mature. So out of all of our rays, they're the most easiest to catch because of the dumb ones that swim on the surface in big schools. But just because there's a lot of them now doesn't mean that there's going to be a lot of them later. And I think if the Game and Fish ever finds that the population is starting to decrease a little bit, they won't even bother putting like a bag limit on them. They will flat out close it down because they're like turtles. It takes way too long to study them to figure out what a safe population is, so they'll just shut it down entirely to make sure that species is able to maintain a healthy population.
So basically, if you're going to go out shoot the standard stingray, which is hugely overpopulated, and because of an imbalance between sharks and stingrays, because sharks are one of the main predators of stingrays, although many, many other creatures eat them, but then they go after when there gets to be too many stingrays, they go after scallops and other stuff. So there's a huge disproportionation. Everything in nature spent millions of years balancing out, and then all of a sudden you get an upset, and one little tiny upset just kind of goes all the way downhill.
You know? Right, exactly.
So, east side of the harbor we're going to, we're just going to take a swing off from the deep holes and head over east. What's going on over there?
From what I hear, it's getting almost swimming pool clear over there. It's supposed to be really, really awesome from a visual standpoint from what everyone's saying. On the inside of the bar, the snook have been scattered all over the place in little groups and singles. Hearing some scattered redfish, but not just a ton of them, just scattered here and there. The trout have been scattered on top of the bar and just on the outside of the bar in that 3 to 4, even 5 feet of water range. A lot of cobia kind of cruising around. There's been some manatee activity along with some of those big southern stingrays, and the cobia have been following both of those. So if you see a big ray, and like Kale was talking about earlier, he saw a big ray over there and he watched it from 75 yards away swimming at him. And it wasn't until it was about 20 or 30 feet past him that he actually saw the cobia swimming on its back. It was that camouflage to it, which is pretty cool. Because sometimes they're hugging right up against those rays or the manatees where you just can't see them. It's pretty neat. So blind cast to it. If you see a big ray, take a cast to it. You never know what's going to pop off of them.
The only thing I would do differently, though, is I don't cast in front of big rays.
Oh, no.
It's the only time when I'm trying to gauge it, so I'll cast beyond the big ray, but try and get it right, you know, 10 feet past where the fish is, and then bring it right over the back to right behind the fish.
Right.
Because I do not want to snag with, you know, my normal fishing tackle, a 3-4 foot ray, because I got no chance, and I don't want to hook the fish and leave him with a leash, you know, a lot of line.
Right.
Because he's going to take everything.
Oh, yeah.
There's no stopping. And if he goes down to the bottom, there's no getting him up.
Right.
You know, not with normal tackle. I mean, you need shark stuff.
You know, normal snook tackle, you're going to leave him with, like you said, the long leash. You're going to strip gears out on your reel. You're going to burn up your drag. Just a lot of unnecessary frustrations. But, you know, it's been pretty neat over there. I mean, guys are just seeing bottom and structures that they've not seen in a long time. Or for our new people, they've just never seen anything like it. So
it's cool.
Everyone coming in here each day with this smile on their face, talking and describing not even the fish that they caught. They're describing the terrain and seeing these different fish swimming around and the manatees. It's always cool to see
it's
that.
It's the best the time of year to
I
learn
take for granted
how to
at
idle.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to idle. If you ever, ever, ever want to get good at fishing that east side, right now, put the boat at idle and work. Wherever you're going, go there slowly. Make sure you're not going to run into anything or anybody else, but look down into the water.
Right.
I mean, quite often when I'm doing that, I will put the boat as slow as it will go and then just holding into the steering wheel, look outside the boat. Great time to have your kill switch connected to you, because you know I'm having my butt hanging half off the boat looking at everything that's going on out there. And this is now when you are going to learn for when the water gets dark. The water will go dark again, so take advantage of this. Go in the little cove, see what the bottoms look like, see if there's a stick on the bottom or a lawn chair sitting there that's holding a bunch of fish or any kind of ridiculous things like that. Or just where is it mud bottom? Where is there a trough? Learn. Now is the time to do the Lewis and Clark, because you don't have to stick your fishing pole in the water to figure it out. You can literally see it.
Yeah.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the tarpons and sharks and the cobia and rays and... Okay, I'll stop.
Nice.
All right. Englewood Pier, Tom Adams Bridge. Englewood Pier, Tom Adams Bridge. Come on. You only get to laugh at me so long before you actually have to get back to work.
Okay. The snook fishing at night has been off the chain. There's been some really, really good fish there. Quite a few legal-sized fish and then quite a few oversized snook being caught there. Along with some juvenile tarpon at night too, so the guys have been super excited about it. During the daytime, it's been a mixed mash of whiting, small trout, some mangrove snapper. I mean, just kind of a mixed bag of stuff out there during the daytime. A lot of little bait moving around out there. Most of it's all threadies with a little bit of white bait, but it's just it's happening. You know, it's been really, really good in general.
All right. Well, going from that one, coming all the way up into the harbor here, back right off the Punta Gorda shoreline, Gilcrest Pier. Let me guess.
I took a walk out there. The wife and I went out there Sunday.
Yeah.
And they got that whole seawall done. It's beautiful. I mean, I like the old rock wall. It was just more, it was prettier. It was lumpy as all get-go, but it was, the pier's done still really nice. They really didn't change much on that, but the whole park itself has kind of taken on a little different look to it.
Yeah. I'm one, I don't like any of the new stuff they've done to it, because there's a few places around the county that used to be huge gatherings for families.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just remember when I used to live right across from the park there, right on Red Esplanade, and sitting on the front porch, looking across, and there would just be pickup truck after pickup truck lined up, tailgate down, rod holders stuck along the seawall, kids, just massive amounts of kids in the playground, and mom and dad there, they'd have the grill, and that, you know, it was just a huge, huge bunch of people, all snook fishing and shark fishing. But it was just one of those cool kind
of... It was more of a social gathering with...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was Friday and Saturday night, 4th of July for, you know, 3 months running. Every Friday and Saturday night was that way.
Yeah.
And all the families out there. And I know now it's more orderly and it's cleaner and it's politically correct and everything's better. But I miss the days where the huge amount of kids, and they all had the official redneck uniform on, you know, and it didn't matter what color the kids were, because there was a huge amount of different color kids there too, but they all had the same white cotton underwear on.
Yeah.
The boys, the girls, they were just everywhere, and they all had that same uniform on. But I mean, it was just crazy how many, and such a diversity of people too. It was just crazy. It was fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to modern times, yes, it's nicer to look at now, but it's not as functional.
Oh, no, not at all.
It's not as functional. I mean, we did good, but we didn't. We made it better to look at, but I think we took away from the family aspect of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So, anyway, Gilcrest Pier. What
fishing's
was
lousy.
Fishing? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Fishing's lousy.
It sucks.
The wind's been blowing right on it all week.
Yeah.
And then that sea breeze kicks up, so it makes it even harder out there. So just the fishing in general has been a little tough. I saw a guy catch one snapper out there in the 15 minutes we were there, and it was probably about 6 inches long.
Okay, so...
And you would have thought it was a scorpion fish the way he was messing with it.
What I actually wrote was not any good reports. How of that for being politically correct?
There you go. That's pretty politically correct.
Okay. All right. South Gulf Cove, back in the canals.
The snook are starting to move out of there at an alarming rate, so the guys that are kind of fishing the entrances of all those canal systems have been doing good. A couple guys that are trolling along that main, what I would consider the lake or whatever, have been doing good on some snook and some juvenile tarpon. And then going up the main finger canal, going, no, what is that, I guess northwest of the lock.
I just wonder if, because of that lock, and we know the snook want to leave and go to spawn, like at this time of year, should they have that lock open, you know, open and close it 5 times a day, no matter if somebody uses it or not? And then again in July and August, open and close it 5 times a day to let the fish back in?
Yeah.
Is that a ridiculous statement, or is it not a bad statement?
I don't think it's a bad statement by any stretch. I just don't know how many of those creeks and everything else are deep enough that cut through the mangroves that we can't see that they can get in and out through the harbor side.
I know there's a few, and the last few days with those higher tides, they would be viable ins and outs.
Right.
But in most of the year, especially in the winter, there is no getting back out.
No. Uh-uh.
But I think with the high water we've had this week, the fish have an escape route out of there, and I shouldn't say escape route, where they have is a
natural migratory
out
pattern
there, because they don't need to escape from there, they like living in there, that's right. Why they're there,
right.
But the party's out at the beach right now. You know what I mean? Who was the couple on the beaches all the time? The radiation in my brain, it's Swiss cheese. I gotta tell you, this is just
couple on the beach.
Yeah, beach party bingo and all that. Janet or whatever her name was. You know, Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello. That's what I'm trying to think of. Frankie and Annette. They're all out there at the beach. It's beach blanket bingo. You know, it's all fun and parties out there. And they're not going to go, too.
Yes.
So, you know, but I think you're right. I think the higher tides of the last few days kind of did that. So, while I think my suggestion would have been one that would make people feel warm and fuzzy about it. Oh, I'm helping the snook, but really wouldn't do it or anything. Like most of the things people do. I'm going to do this because this is going to be helpful. And well, are you doing it to make yourself feel good, or is it actually doing something? You know, those are the things that I think sometimes people should look at more.
Yeah.
All right. So I think I was wrong. So anyway, let's see. Gulf of Mexico. This is going to be a lot of typing on this one, I got a hunch.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
If it involves grouper, then no, there's no typing involved at all, except for the new regulations that are coming out.
When is that happening?
June 1st, gag grouper opens instead of July 1st, and it goes to 24 inches.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too.
I'm okay with that. They're opening up in June. I like that better. I wish the season was reversed. I wish we had gags in the fall, you know, and close it in the summer when they're way the heck offshore. You know, I mean, if you get a boat and you go out 30, 40 miles, you can get into some beautiful, beautiful gag grouper and all that kind of stuff. But you could do it in an aluminum boat in January.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the red grouper have been tough. They're in that 100, 120 feet of water where anyone's catching them with some consistency. You know, but the good news is that if you want to go grocery shopping or even just playing, you know, the mangrove snapper, lanes, and vermilions, and even a few yellowtail have been killer at that 12 to 20 mile range. With quite a few of them even in closer than that, but the real nice ones like the 3 to 7 pounders have been out there to that 12 to 20. And then you still have the king mackerel are still scattered all over the place from literally the pass out to about 12 miles. They are smaller fish. They're in that 5 to 15 pound range, but guys are getting them while they're trolling, playing around. You also have the Spanish mackerel mixed in out there around any of the bait balls and some of the nearshore reefs. There is a lot of bait scattered out there from the shoreline all the way out to 20 miles. And there are a mixed variety of bait, which is kind of cool. One pod is thread fins, one pod is Spanish sardines. You know, it's kind of neat seeing all this variety of life out there.
Yeah.
There's even been a few bonita out there, and I've heard of 1-2 blackfin this past week that were caught in with those bonita schools. They aren't the giants that we're usually used to. They were both right at that 20-pound range, which is still about 3 times bigger than the ones in the Keys. But usually we're used to hearing of those 25-pounders. And then the barracuda have really started to move on to the near shore reefs, which is always just cool to watch. Even if you can't get them to cooperate and eat your lure, it's cool to pull up to a reef and see, you know, 30 logs sitting on the surface, eyeballing you with those snaggle teeth and their big eyeballs.
And, you know, Terry and I have been together a long time. And, you know, if you've ever wondered if you ended up with the right spouse, well, when Terry and I would go out grouper fishing all the time, we'd want to, you know, she want to fight with some bigger fish. So she would literally jump over the side of the boat and splash around long enough, and then once the big barracudas were coming up, then she'd, you know, then I'd pull her back up in the boat, and you know, but she's no fear.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Not me.
No, I mean, I know it's not you, but
she's awesome.
She doesn't care. You know,
she's awesome. That's
but
cool.
She sailed the islands on, you know, spent years cruising all the islands, you know, down from Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and all that on sailboats. And, you know, she's a water rat, no doubt, you know.
That's pretty cool. I'm sometimes jealous of that stuff because I'm so afraid of it.
Oh, I get it. I'm not as crazy as she is in some aspects. I don't think there's anybody more whacked out than I am. But And let's see, onto the reefs. Okay. Coming back in to the harbor, straight out through Bokeringham Pass, across the north end of Pine Island, over to Hobbs, Burnt Store, Two Pines. What's going on there?
Lots of scattered tarpon all through the intercoastal, all the way down to, you know.
Intercoastal, where are we at? I'm talking about Hobbs, Burnt Store.
Hobbs, Burnt Store.
Yeah, you're on
Sorry.
The wrong side of that. You're over on the other side.
Still
of
a
that.
Lot of scattered tarpon. Yeah. Still a lot of scattered tarpon out there in that 8 to 12 feet of water. And then the snook, obviously, are just scattered up and down the entire shoreline with an oddball redfish and a few pompano and even an incidental trout. It's been kind of a mixed match all along down there.
Okay. Got it. All right.
It's been a pretty good mixed bag of stuff.
All right, coming back up into, I don't know if we should combine Lashley Pier and the 41 Bridge because they're usually so similar. But for something that's only, 100 yards or 200 yards away from the bridge, the fishing can be very different than at the bridge. So I guess we're going to have to leave it as a standalone. But Lashley Park, what's going on there?
I think it's got more structure there, so I think that's what makes it so diversified. The reef balls that are underneath it, the power lines
they
that are relative.
They put reef balls under it?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, like right after Hurricane Charlie, they put like 50 reef balls underneath it.
See, I have no memory of that whatsoever.
Yeah, it was only like a year or two after Hurricane Charlie.
Novak did that?
No, Novak passed before Hurricane Charlie.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know they did that. I guess after the hurricane, I was so busy
cleaning up and
yeah,
I mean we were so discombobulated
and I was gone so much because I had to go to work.
Oh,
to,
that's right, you were gone for a couple years too.
I was gone for I was only here on weekends and I'd be gone for a week and back on the weekend and gone for 2 weeks and back on the weekend, and so I had to go out and get another house.
Yeah.
I damn sure wasn't getting a new house out of this place. So, I went back to work for the feds. So, all right. Let's see. Lashley Pier, what were we talking about there?
The variety of life, basically, why it's so weird and different than 41 Bridge. Right now I've been hearing mixed match, some small mangrove snapper. The snook bite's been pretty good at night. And then there's also been some gar and some cobia being caught off there during the day and in the evenings. Seems like right when that sea breeze lays down right there, that hour before sunset, seems to be where there's a little bit more activity going on. Yeah, which is always nice. And it's easy access. You're not getting any walkers' ways. You're not getting any joggers' ways. So whether you're handicapped or just...
Oh, it's nice. I wish they would put the darn bathrooms back.
Yeah.
That was just a bad mistake, taking the bathrooms out.
Yeah, they make you walk an extra 75 feet to go over to the one by the playground right there across the parking lot.
Right, but that they wanted to make it, got to go here. So.
Yeah.
All right, Lemon Bay, getting up back out by the ICW.
Along the ICW, scattered tarpon. Some snook are really starting to move around out there. All underneath all the docks, you've got pepperings of snook with a few oddball redfish. There's even been some mixed reports of some oddball flounder up in there, along with some trout. And then the Spanish mackerel are out in the center of the center of the channel, too, especially if you're kind of idling along through that miserable mile area. It's a good place to kind of troll and pick up an oddball Spanish or bluefish. So it's not bad.
Yeah. Okay, and then Matt Lachey getting back up into the middle of the harbor. I don't know if I should redirect this to meet more of a geographical order or leave it in alphabetical order. I'm almost thinking I'm going to change this to more geographical order, like the Peace River, the 41 Bridge, the canals, and follow my place-by-place fishing report around the harbor as we usually do it, or... I think I'm going to switch this around to do that. That way it's going to be easier to do the radio and this report because we don't always do these together, but when we do, it's It would be a lot easier rather than alphabetical order.
Do you have a map on there too, like just as an overall layover?
No, I've got that on the map page of places to go fishing. I've got kind of an overlay map. The problem is how I build the website, it doesn't work well. It's an overlay type thing, and one web browser like Internet Explorer, it all stays together. But if you look at it sometime in Chrome, it all shreds it apart. And if you look at it on a phone, it's nowhere near close to each other.
Gotcha.
I'm going to be building the whole map section out of a new program that you'll be able to look at on your phone or on any browser. But when I started this years ago, there really wasn't all these things.
Right, you know, exactly.
Too many different protocols on the internet. They were supposed to have one internet protocol, and now there's a dozen.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's been okay. The snook fishing there at night's been pretty steady. And then during the daytime, there's been some oddball trout, even a few oddball sheephead being caught down there. You know, it's not gangbusters, but it's been good. You know, and there's also been a lot of juvenile tarpon and even some adult tarpon kind of cruising around that whole vicinity from there down to the Indian fields. Oddball redfish. You know, it's not killer, but it's good enough where you don't have to venture very far. You just got to move around a little bit to find some of the fish you're looking for, or even just fish in general.
Okay.
Plus, it's just a cool little area if you just want to go walk around and check out some of the little restaurants and tourist traps down there.
Well, the one thing I do like about the town of Matt Lachey is it didn't catch up to Florida.
Right.
It really didn't. I mean, once you're coming down Pine Island Road going towards Pine Island, and you hit that little bit of Matt Lachey. I mean, they've had some hard economic times there.
Yeah.
And some of the restaurants are doing well, some of them aren't. And, but the little shops, the restaurants and stuff, if you're in Port Charlotte, Fort Myers, Cape Coral, and you just want something a little different to do, drive out there.
A taste of old Florida.
Yeah, I mean, and go out there and try and support some of those small shops that are just barely making it, because you got Matt Lachey right there going on to Pine Island, and then you get onto the island, come to the stop sign. If you turn left, you go down to St. James City. He's got some really cool stuff down there. Turn right, go up to Boquilla, and there's a couple of great restaurants either way you turn, and there's docks to walk out on, there's stuff to see, and it's not Disneyland, but it is a very... very relaxing way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah.
And but I really think it's an underappreciated. And the one thing I ask you about is just tell other people, but don't tell any corporate Americas, because we don't need a bunch of big chain stores on there.
Right.
We don't need another Applebee's or whatever.
No.
It's great the way it is.
Yeah.
And it's the one place you can still go where it's not chain store after chain store. It doesn't look exactly like the town you left.
Right.
So I think that's why I'm so impressed with it.
Not the identical strip mall that's empty?
Yeah. And it's not the exact same. When you drive through Port Charlotte, you've got so many of the exact same restaurants that you see in Fort Myers or several other towns. We have some great local restaurants. Don't get me wrong. There's some absolutely amazing local restaurants here. But Matt Lachey just has, it doesn't have a 2016 feel.
Right.
I like it. It's got more of a 1980s, 70s feel to it.
Yeah.
So, all right, getting back, the Myakka system of stuff. I mean, the cutoff, the rivers, the algae bean, all that kind of stuff. What's going on?
Algae bean's probably been the most consistent thing going. The snook fishing at night has been incredible. The day fishing has been sporadic, with depending on the bait fish that are moving up in there with the schools of thread fins. So you're catching some Spanish mackerel, some mangrove snapper, some small sharks, you know, mixed gamut of stuff. But that's just been depending on that flood of bait. And then heading down the river a little bit more consistent with the smaller sharks. Peppering of tarpon all over throughout that whole center area, all the way out to the mouth, and then over in the Myakka.
I gotta go.
You gotta go.
Yeah, it's 11:45. I gotta get down there.
Is Hefe here?
No.
Jeff's not here yet.
No. I don't know where he's at.
Okay.
Carl's out.
He Can have Carl hang on for just a minute. We'll be done in 5 minutes. Okay.
I put.
Hang on. Okay. Thank you. All right, sharks, smaller ones like black tips and stuff are thicker near the mouth of the river. All right. Anything going on in the cutoff?
A lot of snook. A whole lot of snook. A few oddball redfish, and one guy caught a nice cobia actually in there while he was in there snook fishing.
Hmm.
Which was interesting. I mean, it was a 35-inch cobia.
Nice fish.
Yeah.
Okay, I think because of our lack of help out front and I've got to go attitude of one of our people, we're going to pause here, and we're about halfway through the fishing report. We will come back and get the rest of the fishing report here in a little while. And so, let's see, I think we are up to, we're just going to be getting into the second half of the thing. We're going to come back and do that again in a little while. So,
sounds good.
See you in a few minutes.
All right.
Okay, we will be back. More radio fishing and fishing reports. Bye, y'all. Hopefully, by the time this is up in an hour, so we should be able to come back again. So, we'll see you guys later.